All right, we're in Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 29. Wow. Thank you, Lord. All right, now Levi was a tax collector, and his name, we know him as Matthew, okay? And so he made a great feast in his house. He got saved. He was the tax collector that got saved because of Jesus' ministry. Levi invited him to come to his house, and Levi made a great feast. So we're starting in verse 29. Levi made him, Jesus, a great feast in his house. Everybody say, great feast.
Great feast.
And there was a large company of tax collectors. There was a lot of not so nice people there. Okay? Not so nice people. How many of you like to invite the IRS to come to a party at your house? No. I didn't think anybody would volunteer that. Guys, a deductible. That was good. And others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Why the feast? Well, Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." So they're in the middle of a wedding, like this gigantic feast, right? And they're talking about fasting. Wow. Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them?" So now he's comparing the feast at the despised Levi's house with a wedding. "The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He told them also a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one after drinking the old wine desires new, for he says, 'The old is good. The old is good. The old is good.'" So I'm calling this new wine at the great feast. You have to put the story about the new wine with the story of Levi here to really understand what Jesus was talking about. The two things you think of when you think of weddings, the very first thing is wedding dress, right? Wedding clothes. And I know that it's very smart sometimes to buy a used wedding dress for a wedding. Don't get me wrong. That's a smart thing. But when you have an occasion that is like a wedding, the first thing you're going to think about is, what new thing am I going to put on to wear to this wedding? You're not going to get out your old worn out clothes. How many of you like to wear old beat up worn out clothes like me? You like me? I love that kind of stuff. I do. It feels good. Like the more you wear a certain shirt or a pair of shoes, it just gets better as time goes on. It's got holes in it. It may have marks on it, but that's okay. For what you wear it for, it's okay. But you don't wear something like that to a wedding. There comes a time in your life when you have to change your clothes, no matter how comfortable they feel to you. You have to wear something new. And the wedding feast is all about new clothes. It's all about new clothes. You can't rip off the new cloth to try to fix up the old. You just have to say, "I'm sorry, I don't care what I think, what I feel. I am going to put this new thing on. I am going out to the store. I am getting something new today to wear." Now, there's some people that love that now. How many of you like that, too? Now, come on. It's fun to go out and buy something new. Come on, Ed. Come on. Be honest now. We don't want a bunch of liars in here. Let me preach on that commandment right now. In Jesus' name, thou shalt not bear false witness. Okay. All right. And the other thing that you have at weddings is wine. Am I right? I mean, most weddings, that's when you pull the wine out. And as a matter of fact, the first miracle that Jesus did, where was it now, guys? Come on. A wedding. And what was the big deal at this wedding? The wine. So the thing is that when Jesus talks about the new wine, he talks about the old garment and the new garment, it's in the context of the wedding feast. And he was calling this time, come on now, with Levi, the time that he was spent partying with Levi, this despised tax collector, right? He compared that to the wedding feast. And in the Bible, you see it again and again and again, where our salvation is compared with what? A wedding. And that when we go to heaven, it's like going to a wedding. And when you evangelize, you go out and invite people, not what? Come on now, I'm going to invite everybody to a time of fasting and praying and putting ashes on your head. Is that evangelism? No. No, thank you, Brother Winfred. He reads his Bible. Come on, he says, when you go out and invite people to church, you invite people to the kingdom of God, when you reach out with the gospel, you are inviting people to the most fun time that you could possibly have. Come on now, weddings are fun. I remember going to Mary Carroll when she put on the wedding for Miss Mary, Miss Mimi. That was such a fantastic time. I mean, I remembered. I was like saying, Lord, please let Elizabeth and Josh's wedding be good, as good as that. Because we had such a great time at that wedding. We just did. I mean, it was right up there at Smith Mountain Lake. The food was awesome. The setting was awesome. Everybody looked beautiful. There was all kinds of fun stuff to do. We got to hang out with some people. And so here it is. The wedding feast has got to be the most fun thing to go to. It needs to be that way. And I just know that we had a great time with Liz and Josh. We did, even though we worked really hard. And that's a big difference. If you're not putting on the wedding, just attending, it does make a difference. Because you go there, you don't have to pay a fee, do you? It's free, isn't it? You may get the best food that you've had for that month. I remember a wedding we put on for somebody that they shipped in a bunch of crawdads. We had, remember that, buddy? Yeah. I mean, we had crawdads. We ate crawdads because he loved New Orleans food and he loved that kind of stuff. And we just had a feast. I mean, have you remember weddings you've gone to that were just really memorable? Come on. You just say, Paula. Come on, Paulie. We got to get you going to some wedding. There you go. Now, I've had some funny stories from weddings, too. Like, we've had some amazing accidents happen at weddings. And funny things. The funny things will happen at weddings, too, that you'll never forget, too. Humorous things, right? Yeah. I've never been to a wedding that I was like, I wish I never went. Anybody? Anybody? You've been when you said, I wish I never went to this wedding. It was so bad, right? Okay. All right. Well, good. I want to find out what that's like because I've always been blessed. All right, wait a minute. That's the Lord. What's he want to tell me? Okay, he wants to say, okay. All right, sorry. I thought the Lord was calling me up. All right. But here's what I want to say. In weddings, you have new clothes. And at a wedding, you have new wine. Weddings are new beginnings. And when we treat the gospel like a wedding feast, our attitude is different. Yeah. Come on. I believe the Lord is calling us to a greater level of calling the gospel, inviting people to a wedding feast. We should be inviting them to a feast, not a fast. Come We need to treat sinners, the ones that nobody likes because they're messed up, or because they don't have their life together, or because they do a job or they do things that we don't really approve of. We should treat them with feasting,
amen,
not fasting.
Amen.
Revival is that kind of atmosphere. It's a party.
Amen.
And I'm not afraid to call it a party. I feel like we should party for God so that sinners will come to know Jesus. And we need to throw a party for sinners, for people. He says, I came to call sinners to repentance. Now, if you're going to get somebody to repent, call them to a wedding feast and have them repent. Don't call them to, you know what I mean? To a fast or a funeral or to, you know, raise the dead and turn the funeral into a wedding. But I believe if we have that attitude, because the Pharisees were so mad. You got to understand, they were really mad at Jesus for hanging out with these tax collectors and partying. And they said, wait a minute, you guys don't fast enough. Can you imagine someone challenging you about fasting more and praying more while you're at a wedding? Like, how dumb is that? But they did it because they were so driven by that religious spirit, by that legalistic attitude that says that somehow by our efforts, we can make God like us.
Amen.
That somehow by our efforts and by our striving that we can somehow make God just be a little nicer to us. But it's not that way. You know that God loves us so much that he cannot wait to bless us. If we would just open up to him and attend the party. Do you realize that getting saved means accepting an invitation to a party? But we as Christians, sometimes I feel like we have a negative attitude about serving God and we communicate that to people. I believe that there are times to fast, but you fast with the disciples. You feast with the sinners. When you get with the disciples, you close yourself. You realize that Jesus said, don't fast publicly.
Right.
Didn't he say that? Come on. He said, don't let anybody know you're fasting. That means it's private with a few people. He says, don't even let people know that you're praying and interceding. Don't do it in public. Do it where nobody can see you. Because you don't want to come off as being more holy than somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Ooh. Ooh, yeah. You Levi, you tax collector. I am a Pharisee. I am holy. I wear holy clothing. I have that holy clothing line over there at this department store that I shop at. That you shop at. I won't say it. You see what I'm saying? We need to have this thing. And we need to learn. And I want to shift now. I want to talk about what it means to have new wine. New wine and a new garment means that in your desire to fix something that's old. Now, this is something that we all have to deal with. There are some times when you don't want to fix something that's broken. You want to replace it with something better.
All right, come on.
And when we approach other people and even our own life, there are some times when we just get caught up with fixing all the time. I'm a fixer. I like fixing things. You know, I've been doing it my whole life. And there are some times when you just always want to fix something and you just don't listen to reason when reason says it is not worth the time or the money to fix this. Throw it out. Replace it. So you have clothes in your closet that you should have thrown out a long time ago. that you haven't worn in 2 or 3 years, but they're still there. You might just wear them. You have things in your basement, if you have a basement, that you say, you know, I will repair that someday. It may be so valuable that I could sell it on auction and eBay and make a lot of money off of that old thing. And then you look it up and you realize it's still worth less than it was when you first bought it. So what do? I don't need this. I give it away or throw it out. I give it to the trash man or I throw it out. And there are times when the Holy Spirit wants us to stop fixing things and start putting on the new garment. Don't stop patching up the old with the new, because what you end up doing is missing out on the good thing that God is doing in your life. God wants you to receive the new garment and stop messing with the old, because you end up messing up the old. The new. And then the old doesn't look right anyway, because it's got that little bit of new in it. And people go, well, there's a little bit of something in there, but the rest of that garment is really ugly. And you know, I think it's interesting about new wine and old wine. They use the same term for clothing. You use the word vintage clothing. Guess what the word vintage means? Wine. Old. Old. Old clothing. Old wine. Vintage. But God says that new wine needs a new container. Which means there are times when you have to stop doing things the way that you have done them your entire life and do them differently. There are times when you need to respond to the new life that's within you and stop responding to the old that's been there. Listen to the voice of the bridegroom. And take the garment that God gives you and stop listening to the voice that you've been hearing your entire life. Like, nah. The old man. That's what the Bible calls it. Calls it the old man. And you got to stop listening to the old man and start listening to the bridegroom. The new voice. The voice of the Holy Spirit that says, stop patching up the old garment. Replace it. God wants us to have a feasting mentality and walking in newness of life. You know, the new wine, you can't get much newer than new wine at the miracle of the Cana, right? When did Jesus make the wine? Like 5 minutes before they drank it. Right? And it was better than the stuff that man made. That was long vintage, old vintage. You know, it's supposed to be like the older wine gets, the more expensive it is. Well, I've got this wine here. It's from 1985, and I paid $1,000 for that bottle. Believe it or not, am I right, Danny? People pay big money for wine. So here you have new vintage at Cana, right? How new was it? Instant vintage. It was brand new wine. Jesus is in the business of giving us new wine. He wants to give us something that he has recently transformed from water to wine in our lives. And he wants to make it so new. And when we taste it, we go, yes. And the reason why they liked it, they didn't know what it was. They didn't know where it was coming from. The problem is that if you are used to, we are used to the old wine. Why? We think it's good. I'm used to it. But God wants to get out of our settling for what is good and get our taste adjusted for what is new. There's a difference. God wants us to dial in the new and enter into that new. We need to have a mentality of transformation and get away from fixing. And we need to see ourselves as a work in progress. A work in progress. God is not finished with you and me. God makes all things new. I think that's one of my favorite statements in the book of Revelation. It's one of my favorite statements. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. And so, with that in mind, we are going to receive the Lord's table, and we're going to receive the new wine of the new covenant that was shed in His blood for the forgiveness of many. And for that, we're going to receive the bread. And this is another message that I want to preach someday. The bread of affliction. The bread of His affliction, His suffering, so that we would be delivered. That we would be made whole. So if we could just come up and receive.